And now, Chapter 8, Vision of the Universal Form. After this incident, Vasudeva asked his family priest, Gargamuni, to visit the place of Nanda Maharaj in order to astrologically calculate the future life of Krishna. Gargamuni was a great saintly sage who underwent many austerities and penances and was appointed priest of the Yadu dynasty. When Gargamuni arrived at the home of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased to see him and immediately stood up with folded hands and offered his respectful obeisances. He received Gargamuni with the feeling of one who is worshipping God or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He offered him a nice sitting place, and when he sat down, Nanda Maharaj offered him a warm reception. Addressing him very politely, he said, "My dear Brahman, your appearance in a householder's place is only to enlighten. We are always engaged in household duties and are forgetting our real duty of self-realization. Your coming to our house is to give us some enlightenment about spiritual life. You have no other purpose to visit householders." Actually, a saintly person or a Brahmin has no business visiting householders who are always busy in the matter of dollars and cents. The only reason saintly persons and Brahmins go to a householder's place is to enlighten him. If it is asked, why don't the householders go to a saintly person or a Brahmin for enlightenment? The answer is that householders are very poor-hearted. Generally, householders think that their engagement in family affairs is their prime duty, and that self-realization or enlightenment in spiritual knowledge is secondary. Out of compassion only, saintly persons and Brahmins go to householders' homes. Nanda Maharaj addressed Gargamuni as one of the great authorities in astrological science. The foretellings of astrological science, such as the occurrence of solar and lunar eclipses, are wonderful calculations. And by this particular science, a person can understand the future very clearly. Gargamuni was proficient in this knowledge. By this knowledge, one can understand what his previous activities were. And by the result of such activities, one may enjoy or suffer in this life. Nanda Maharaj also addressed Gargamuni as the best of Brahmins. A Brahmin is one who is expert in the knowledge of the Supreme. Without knowledge of the Supreme Absolute, one cannot be recognized as a Brahmin. The exact word used in this connection is Brahma Vidam, which means those who know the Supreme very well. An expert Brahmin is able to give reformatory facilities to the subcastes, namely the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. The Shudras observe no reformatory performances. The Brahmin is considered to be the spiritual master or priest for the Kshatriya and Vaishya. Nanda Maharaj happened to be a Vaishya, and he accepted Gargamuni as a first-class Brahmin. He therefore offered his two foster sons, namely Krishna and Balaram, to him to purify. He agreed that not only these boys, but all human beings just after birth should accept a qualified Brahmin as spiritual master. Upon this request, Gargamuni replied, "Vasudev has sent me to see the reformatory performances of these boys, especially Krishna's. I am their family priest, and incidentally, it appears to me that Krishna is the son of Devaki." By his astrological calculation, Gargamuni could understand that Krishna was the son of Devaki, but that he was being kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj, which Nanda did not know. Indirectly, he said that Krishna and Balaram were both sons of Vasudev. Balaram was known as the son of Vasudev because his mother, Rohini, was present there. But Nanda Maharaj did not know about Krishna. Gargamuni indirectly disclosed the fact that Krishna was the son of Devaki. Gargamuni also warned Nanda Maharaj that if he would perform the reformatory ceremony, then Kamsa, who is naturally very sinful, would understand that Krishna was the son of Devaki and Vasudev. According to astrological calculation, Devaki could not have a female child, although everyone thought that the eighth child of Devaki was a female. In this way, Gargamuni intimated to Nanda Maharaj that the female child was born of Yashoda and that Krishna was born of Devaki, and they were exchanged. The female child, or Durga, also informed Kamsa that the child who would kill him was already born somewhere else. Gargamuni stated, "If I give your child a name, and if he fulfills the prophecy of the female child to Kamsa, then it may be that the sinful demon will come and kill this child also after the name-giving ceremony. But I do not want to become responsible for all these future calamities." On hearing the words of Gargamuni, Nanda Maharaj said, "If there is some danger, then it is better not to plan any gorgeous name-giving ceremony. It would be better for you to simply chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purificational process. We belong to the twice-born caste, and I am taking this opportunity of your presence. So please, perform the name-giving ceremony without external pomp." Nanda Maharaj wanted to keep the name-giving ceremony a secret, and yet take advantage of Gargamuni's performing the ceremony. When Gargamuni was so eagerly requested by Nanda Maharaj, he performed the name-giving ceremony as secretly as possible in the cowshed of Nanda Maharaj. He informed Nanda Maharaj that Balaram, the son of Rohini, would be very pleasing to his family members and relatives, and therefore would be called Ram. In the future, he would be extraordinarily strong, and therefore would be called Balaram. Gargamuni said further, "Because your family and the family of the Yadus are so intimately connected and attracted, his name will also be Sankarshan." This means that Gargamuni awarded three names to the son of Rohini, namely Balaram, Sankarshan, and Baladev. But he carefully did not disclose the fact that Balaram also appeared in the womb of Devaki and was subsequently transferred to the womb of Rohini. Krishna and Balaram are real brothers, being originally sons of Devaki. Gargamuni then informed Nanda Maharaj, "As far as the other boy is concerned, this child has taken different bodily complexions in different yugas or millennia. First of all, he assumed the color white. Then he assumed the color red. Then the color yellow. And now he has assumed the color black. Besides that, he was formerly the son of Vasudev. Therefore, his name should be Vasudev, as well as Krishna. Some people will call him Krishna, and some will call him Vasudev. But one thing you must know, this son has had many, many other names and activities due to his different pastimes." Gargamuni gave Nanda Maharaj a further hint that his son would also be called Giridhari because of his uncommon pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Since he could understand everything past and future, he said, "I know everything about his activities and names, but others do not know. This child will be very pleasing to all the cowherd men and cows. Being very popular in Vrindavan, he will be the cause of all good fortune for you. Because of his presence, you will overcome all kinds of material calamities despite opposing elements." Gargamuni continued to say, "My dear King of Raja, in his previous births, This child many times protected righteous persons from the hands of rogues and thieves whenever there was political disruption. Your child is so powerful that anyone who will become a devotee of your boy will never be troubled by enemies. Just as demigods are always protected by Lord Vishnu, the devotees of your child will always be protected by Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This child will grow in power, beauty, opulence, in everything on the level of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, I would advise that you protect him very carefully so that he may grow without disturbance. Gargamuni further informed Nanda Maharaj that because Nanda was a great devotee of Narayan, Lord Narayan gave a son equal to himself. At the same time, he indicated, your son will be disturbed by so many demons, so be careful and protect him. In this way, Gargamuni convinced Nanda Maharaj that Narayan himself had become his son. In various ways, he described the transcendental qualities of his son. After giving this information, Gargamuni returned to his home. Nanda Maharaj began to think of himself as the most fortunate person, and he was very satisfied to receive such benediction in this way. A short time after this incident, both Balaram and Krishna began to crawl on their hands and knees. When they were crawling like that, they pleased their mothers. The bells tied to their waist and ankles sounded fascinating, and they would move around very pleasingly. Sometimes, just like ordinary children, they would be frightened by others and would immediately hurry to their mothers for protection. Sometimes they would fall into the clay and mud of Vrindavan and would approach their mothers smeared with clay and saffron. They were actually smeared with saffron and sandalwood pulp by their mothers, but due to crawling over muddy clay, they would simultaneously smear their bodies with clay. As soon as they would come crawling to their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini would take them on their laps and, covering them with the lower portion of their saris, allow them to suck their breasts. When the babies were sucking their breasts, the mothers would see small teeth coming in. Thus, their joy would be intensified to see their children grow. Sometimes the naughty babies would crawl up to the cowshed, catch the tail of a calf, and stand up. The calves, being disturbed, would immediately begin running here and there, and the children would be dragged over the clay and cow dung. To see this fun, Yashoda and Rohini would call all their neighboring friends, the gopis. Upon seeing these childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna, the gopis would be merged in transcendental bliss. In their enjoyment, they would laugh very loudly. Both Krishna and Balaram were so restless that their mothers Yashoda and Rohini would try to protect them from cows, bulls, monkeys, water, fire, and birds while they were executing their household duties. Always being anxious to protect the children and to execute their duties, they were not very tranquil. In a very short time, both Krishna and Balaram began to stand up and slightly move on their legs. When Krishna and Balaram began to walk, other friends of the same age joined them, and together they began to give the highest transcendental pleasure to the gopis, specifically to Mother Yashoda and Rohini. All the gopi friends of Yashoda and Rohini enjoyed the naughty, childish activities of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. In order to enjoy further their transcendental bliss, they all assembled and went to Mother Yashoda to lodge complaints against the restless boys. When Krishna was sitting before Mother Yashoda, all the elderly gopis began to lodge complaints against him so that Krishna could hear. They said, "Dear Yashoda, why don't you restrict your naughty Krishna? He comes to our houses along with Balaram every morning and evening, and before the milking of the cows, they let loose the calves, and the calves drink all the milk of the cows.
So when we go to milk the cows, we find no milk, and we have to return with empty pots. If we warn Krishna and Balaram about doing this, they simply smile charmingly. We cannot do anything. Also, your Krishna and Balaram find great pleasure in stealing our stock of yogurt and butter from wherever we keep it. When Krishna and Balaram are caught stealing the yogurt and butter, they say, "Why do you charge us with stealing? Do you think that butter and yogurt are in scarcity in our house?" Sometimes they steal butter, yogurt, and milk and distribute them to the monkeys. When the monkeys are well fed and do not take any more, then your boys chide, "This milk and butter and yogurt are useless. Even the monkeys won't take it." And they break the pots and throw them hither and thither. If we keep our stock of yogurt, butter, and milk in a solitary dark place, your Krishna and Balaram find it in the darkness by the glaring effulgence of the ornaments and jewels on their bodies. If by chance they cannot find the hidden butter and yogurt, they go to our little babies and pinch their bodies so that they cry, and then they go away. If we keep our stock of butter and yogurt high on the ceiling, hanging on a swing, although it is beyond their reach, they arrange to reach it by piling all kinds of wooden planks over the grinding machine. And if they cannot reach, they make a hole in the pot. We think, therefore, that you'd better take all the jeweled ornaments from the bodies of your children. On hearing this, Yashoda would say, "All right, I will take all the jewels from Krishna, so that he cannot see the butter hidden in the darkness." Then the gopis would say, "No, no, 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 don't do this. What good will you do by taking away the jewels? We do not know what kind of boys these are, but even without ornaments, they spread some kind of effulgence, so that even in the darkness they can see everything." Then Mother Yashoda would inform them, "All right, keep your butter and yogurt carefully, so that they may not reach it." In reply to this, the gopis said, "Yes, actually we do so. But because we are sometimes engaged on our household duties, these naughty boys enter our house somehow or other and spoil everything. Sometimes, being unable to steal our butter and yogurt, out of anger they pass urine on our clean floor and sometimes spit on it. Just see your boy now. He is hearing this complaint. All day they simply make arrangements to steal our butter and yogurt. And now they are sitting just like very silent good boys. Just see his face." When Mother Yashoda thought to chastise her boy after hearing all the complaints, she saw his pitiable face, and smiling, she did not chastise him. Another day, when Krishna and Balaram were playing with their friends, all the boys joined Balaram and told Mother Yashoda that Krishna had eaten clay. On hearing this, Mother Yashoda caught hold of Krishna's hand and said, "My dear Krishna, why have you eaten earth in a solitary place? Just see, all your friends, including Balaram, are complaining about you." Being afraid of his mother, Krishna replied, "My dear mother, all these boys, including my elder brother Balaram, are speaking lies against me. I have never eaten clay. My elder brother Balaram, while playing with me today, became angry, and therefore he has joined with the other boys to complain against me. They have all combined together to complain, so you will be angry and chastise me. If you think they are truthful, then you can look within my mouth to see whether I have taken clay or not." His mother replied, "All right. If you have actually not taken any clay, then just open your mouth and I shall see." When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was so ordered by his mother, he immediately opened his mouth just like an ordinary boy. Then Mother Yashoda saw within that mouth the complete opulence of creation. She saw the entire outer space in all directions, and mountains, islands, oceans, seas, planets, air, fire, moon, and stars. Along with the moon and the stars, she also saw the entire elements, water, sky,
the extensive ethereal existence, along with the total ego and the products of the senses and the controller of the senses, all the demigods, the objects of the senses like sound and smell, and the three qualities of material nature. She also could perceive that within his mouth were all living entities, eternal time, material nature, spiritual nature, activity, consciousness, and different forms of the whole creation. Yashoda could find within the mouth of her child everything necessary for cosmic manifestation. She also saw within his mouth herself taking Krishna on her lap and having him suck her breast. Upon seeing this, she became struck with awe and began to wonder whether she were dreaming or actually seeing something extraordinary. She concluded that she was either dreaming or seeing the play of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She thought that she had become mad, mentally deranged, to see all those wonderful things. Then she thought, it may be cosmic mystic power attained by my child, and therefore I am perplexed by such visions within his mouth. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose energy bodily self and bodily possessions are conceived. She then said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, under whose illusory energy I am thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and Krishna is my son, that all the properties of Nanda Maharaj belong to me, and that all the cowherd men and women are my subjects. All this misconception is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So let me pray to him that he may protect me always. While Mother Yashoda was thinking in this high philosophical way, Lord Krishna again expanded his internal energy just to bewilder her with maternal affection. Immediately, Mother Yashoda forgot all philosophical speculation and accepted Krishna as her own child. She took him on her lap and became overwhelmed with maternal affection. She thus began to think, Krishna is not understandable to the masses through the gross process of knowledge, but he can be received through the Upanishads and the Vedanta or mystic yoga system and Sankhya philosophy. Then she began to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her own begotten child. Certainly, Mother Yashoda had executed many, many pious activities, as a result of which she got the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, as her son, who sucked milk from her breast. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj also must have performed many great sacrifices and pious activities for Lord Krishna to become his son and address him as father. But it is surprising that Vasudeva and Devaki did not enjoy the transcendental bliss of Krishna's childhood pastimes, although Krishna was their real son. The childhood pastimes of Krishna are glorified even today by many sages and saintly persons, but Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy such childhood pastimes personally. The reason for this was explained by Shukdeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit as follows. When the best of the Vasus, named Drona and his wife Dada, were ordered to increase progeny by Lord Brahma, they said unto him, Dear Father, we are seeking your benediction. Drona and Dada then took benediction from Brahma that in the future, when they would take birth again within the universe, the Supreme Lord Krishna, in his most attractive feature of childhood, would absorb their whole attention. Their dealings with Krishna would be so powerful that simply by hearing of Krishna's childhood activities with them, anyone could very easily cross over the nescience of birth and death. Lord Brahma agreed to give them the benediction, and as a result, the same Drona appeared as Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, and the same Dada appeared as Mother Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. In this way, Nanda Maharaj and his wife, Mother Yashoda, developed their unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having gotten him as their son. And all the gopis and cowherd men who were associates of Krishna naturally developed their own different feelings of love for Krishna. Therefore, just to fulfill the benediction of Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna appeared along with his plenary expansion, Balaram, and performed all kinds of childhood pastimes in order to increase the transcendental pleasure of all the residents of Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 8th chapter of Krishna, Vision of the Universal Form.